Broadcasting live from the beautiful Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's OAUG Radio at Collaborate 15, the technology and applications forum for the Oracle community. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Welcome back to our live broadcast from Collaborate 2015. Woo, man, time flies. We're in a time warp. It's Vegas, right? Collaborate 2015 here at a beautiful Mandalay Bay and Resort. Ryan, what a day.
Yeah, what a day it has been. We've had some amazing guests here in our booth sharing all their success about the companies they're working for and what they're doing to help users of Oracle out there today. And so we're on the home stretch now, my friend.
We are. Things are wrapping up, but certainly not winding down
that's
here.
Right.
They just broke out the booze, so that's a good sign. I have with us someone who's been with us many times when we've been out here in Vegas and in other venues with OAUG. Join me in welcoming to the program, Miss Alyssa Johnson, Senior Program Director for KEST. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me tonight.
No, it's always a pleasure. We can't have it without you.
Well, always enjoy doing it.
Good. So how are you enjoying the conference so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, I've gone to some great sessions. I actually did a presentation with about 100 people this afternoon. And so
cool.
That was
that nerve-wracking?
No, I love presenting.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you can tell.
I get in front of the microphone.
I get excited getting up there.
So I want to touch on that, but before we kind of get there, I know that you are the past president for OAUG. Now you're on the board. So kind of explain in your mind how vital user groups, but in particular OAUG, is to the Oracle ecosystem.
Yeah, so it's really important, I think, for users to come together. Our mission statement really covers three things. We're all about education, networking, and influence with Oracle. And you really see all three of those things here at Collaborate, but we extend past just this week. We have educational sessions all throughout the year. Our GEO and SIGs are opportunities for users that are interested in the same kinds of things or live in the same region to get together and to network, because one of the best ways to solve business problems or problems with Oracle that you're having is to talk to somebody else that's had the same problem, you know, and they can come, they may have a solution that you can use. So we have the networking and then, of course, the influence with Oracle. Our customer support council is very strong, and we have a great relationship with Oracle, and Oracle's even here this week giving a lot of sessions for us. And so it's all about helping users use their Oracle products more effectively.
No, it's a really cool concept, and something Oracle does really well is they actually listen and pivot from what's being said. So you guys really have their ear, which is cool. But yeah, we had Cliff Godwin on earlier, and he was talking about the application user groups and how vital they are to the process. And one of those things, and he kind of touched on it, and hoping we can dive a little bit deeper into it here now, is the enhancement request process.
Yes, yeah, so this is something that we actually collaborated with Oracle on. They've just released it in the last 18 months. Before, when you had an issue and Oracle said, oh, that's an enhancement request, meaning it's coming on down the line, you don't expect it tomorrow. The process was pretty laborious. You didn't have much visibility into where they were in development.
If they even read it, right.
Right, you didn't really know. But now they've instituted a My Oracle Support Community enhancement request process, which is really crowdsourced, so you can go in and vote up and down on ideas that people have put in there.
Reddit kind of format.
Exactly. And development actually has, you know, conversations with, you know, the users and comes up with the solution. So they actually take the feedback right there. So there's much more visibility. You actually can filter on those things that have been delivered or that are in progress. So you know if Oracle's working on it. So I think it's really an exciting enhancement for our user community and really empowers them to be part of the future state of the EBS product family.
Right, and I'm sure that maybe not enhancement request process, I'm sure that's contributing more now, but you guys have kind of helped shape EBS into what it is now from 11i to 12 to 12 dot, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I'm sure there are still some folks out there who are on 11i. Speak to the dangers of that and why it might be time to start migrating, and then we'll go into where after that.
Okay. So if you're still using EBS 11i, the D support date is fast approaching. It's the end of December of this year. And you know it takes time to plan a project, to execute on the project, to upgrade. And so you will no longer get that level one support. You'll go into sustaining support, but that means no new regulatory updates. The other thing that I'm really concerned about, though, is that you won't get any further third-party certifications. So, you know, EBS runs on your laptop. So as your laptop gets further and further down, you know, IE 11, 12, you know, EBS 11i is not going to be certified to work with those later versions of the application.
Yeah, the technology is not going to talk well.
Right. So you're just going to have to pretty much freeze where you are. And what company wants to do that? You want to modernize, right? So anybody that's still left, really happy, though, a lot of hands are going up to being on 12 already. But still in every presentation, there's a few hands that go up still for 11i.
And what are the reasons, do you think? Is it just the money? Is it time? Why do I need it?
Yeah, part of it, I think not understanding the risks associated with staying on it. You know, before, like if you were on 11.0 and you didn't go up to 11.5.10, okay, so maybe that's not a big impact, but the technology is moving so fast now that maybe they don't understand, you know, what the impact is going to be of staying on 11i. So I think just
it's an education process.
Education, kinda. Right. Education of the risks and really helping them to understand that it is a project. It is, impactful to their business, but it's not impossible, right? It's not so huge that you can't. It's not so huge that you can't undertake it and be successful in upgrading.
Yeah. So all right, you convinced me. I'm on 11i. I need to upgrade. Now what? Now what too, right? Because there's a lot of options. There's a lot of things on the horizon. Do I wait? Do I not wait? And so speak to that and what instances may be wise to move to different versions of 12.
Okay, so that's a good question because there are differences. 12.1.3 is a viable upgrade path. They've extended the support timelines for that, so you won't feel like you're on an upgrade treadmill,
right,
as Oracle says. 12.2 has some additional technology that you have to enable to be able to work. So maybe your organization's not quite there on the technology. You need WebLogic Server. You're going to have the online patching. So maybe you're not willing to bite that much off. So maybe 12.1.3 is a better choice for you. But if you're a global organization, the online patching is fantastic because that was really always a pain for the company because you're like, who in the world is going to have to shut down when you actually do the patching, right? So now you can just do it with the bounce of the database, be down for 30 minutes and be back up. So 12.2 has actually been out long enough now. A lot more customers are on it. I think I saw a session this week said over 60 live with 100 more coming soon. So it's becoming more and more stable. And I just had a customer that went live with it a couple of months ago and had a very successful rollout. So I'm saying, you know, don't be afraid to go to 12.2.
Well, it's like Cliff said, it's ready.
Exactly.
It's ready.
I agree. I completely agree.
Yeah,
he's
all about saying, yeah, no, it's ready. Get to it. And take advantage of the mobile apps, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, they're really great.
Those are cool. I mean, if you're on your smartphone, you have one, you'll get it immediately.
And I have to say, no additional licensing fee.
Yeah, no more SKUs. I mean, how cool is that, right? Because that's why I kind of tease him a little bit. Like, oh, so you're going to have to get a new SKU and all this. Like, no, you're good to go.
That's right.
You have to do a little bit on the, you know, a little formatting on the server side. But after that, you know, you're golden, man.
Yeah, no, that's right. And everybody knows how to get to the Apple Store, so
exactly. Oh, they do. My wife does, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit. So you had a presentation earlier today. Kind of what did you focus on with that?
So earlier in the today, I talked about R12 payments. So that's a brand new payment engine that manages both funds capture and funds disbursement, which is AP and AR. But it centralizes the processing. And so I just wanted to share with the users best practices on implementing that and how, if they really take advantage of the power of that engine, they can really lower the total cost of ownership in terms of their payment processing. So that's what I talked about yesterday. And then coming up tomorrow is actually some of what we've just talked about. The title is Making the Choice, EBS 12.1, 12.2, ERP Cloud, because I know we have to get the cloud word
in there. Yeah, we got to get that in there.
Or coexistence, which is really, I think most organizations are going to go to a coexistence strategy, keep their EBS instance, but then where it makes sense, have cloud solutions, right?
So, right.
One of the things we do at Kest is we have implemented Oracle CPQ Cloud, which is Configure Price Quote. So for your sales organization, you can put that out in the cloud and then integrate into your order management system in EBS. So it really makes sense in a lot of ways for people that, you know, need kind of a lighter solution. And
right.
you can have that out in the cloud. And that's not the only example, but there's ways that you can use the cloud and still stay on EBS.
Huh, that's interesting. So that's tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow at 3:15.
Okay, cool. So where can folks go to learn more about Kest and learn more about OAUG?
Yeah, so you can go to Kest.com, of course. We're a system integrator, but we cover solutions across the stack. I think our differentiator is really integration,
okay.
which is key
yeah.
with EBS and cloud, right? So we have a lot of solutions where we provide that integration. And then OAUG.org. One of the things I'm really excited about, and I hope people go and check out, we're going to, in the next few months, have a rollout of new Geo and SIG websites.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, they are modernized and easy to use and easy for the Geo and SIG leaders to administer, which was another, you know, kind of challenge. And so I'm really excited about our Geo and SIG members being able to see the updates on the horizon for those websites.
Great, great. Well, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's always
me.
A pleasure,
yeah,
Alyssa.
Yeah, it was great.
All right, I'm Michael Lauer here for the BRX family and my co-host, Ryan McPherson. We will see you in a little bit at Collaborate 2015.